Good morning. Welcome as we come today to worship God. One heart, one voice, one purpose. Joined together as a diverse group of people gathered in one place, but yet with one purpose today. Gathered in the same place to do the same thing. But let's hear some words of Scripture as we begin this morning. And they come from Acts chapter 17. Paul then stands up and he says, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship, something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made this world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if needed by anything, because he himself gives all people life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them, the exact places where they should live. God did this so that people would seek him and perhaps reach for him, find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our very being." That's the God that we worship, the one who is alive and well today. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are present with us. Thank you for your life, your death, your resurrection, and for your power that you bring through the presence of your Holy Spirit amongst us and within us today. So we pray that as we gather to worship you, that we will be led deeper into our relationship with you, that you reveal more of yourself to us, and that as we do that, we would have the courage to take another step on our journey with you. So that in all we do, and all we say, and all we think, we would know that we have our very being in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today, as we continue through as we continue through our Ten Commandments series, we're starting at 10 and working our way through to number 1. And normally in the All-In Sunday, we have it split up into two sort of sections in this, and we're doing that again today. With all of the planning that I may have had around this, the topic that lands today, as we're all in the same room, is do not commit adultery. So, here we go. So, I'm going to put some words on the screen. I'm going to ask us to define these words. How would we define? The first word is friendship. How would you define the word friendship? What does that word mean? Where are we, Hannah? Whenever you're nice to someone and you're friends with them. Yep, okay. Anybody else want a... Somebody you like to spend time with, somebody you love, loyalty, yes. Trust, somebody who you can confide in, fun. Okay, that's a broad range, isn't it? Fun, confidence, love, trust, friendship, wanting to spend time, all of those things wrapped into just one word, friendship. So how would we define the next word, which is relationship? The same.
Special friendship.
A special friendship. Okay. Some people are saying the same. Some people are saying a special friendship, so it's a different kind of friendship or relationship. Anybody else want to throw anything out?
More formal.
It's more formal. Okay. So what you're saying, Heather, is relationship is something that you have within a friendship. So, okay. I kind of was trying to think about what is the difference between these two things. And I suppose in many ways, we have lots of relationships through all of our lives in many different ways. We have a relationship with the person in the shop who maybe we have got to know the name of. And so actually the person that serves us every day and we buy our paper from, we know their name. And there's some kind of relationship there. The other person that maybe not so much today, but certainly many years ago we would have a relationship with was the postman. We would have known our postman in that sense. We'd have known their name. We knew when they came. They always came at exactly the same time. They had the same route, the same steps, all of those things. But we also have relationships with our teachers. We have relationships with teachers. We have relationships with counselors in the council. We have different levels of relationships. And I suppose relationship, for me, as I try to think this through, was a wee bit like, relationship means that we are in some level of a connection with someone else. But friendship takes it slightly differently, because friendship is almost the one that we've chosen to be in a relationship with, rather than just forced to be in a relationship with. So the person that we buy our paper from in the shop, we can't walk into the shop and say, actually, I'd love to be served by you, please, and not you. That would seem really strange. But yet the people that we want to have fun with, the people we want to have sharing confidence with, the people that we want to spend time with, are people that we choose to be with. And so there's something special about the difference between a relationship and a friendship. So hands up, who likes to have good friends? Me too. I would imagine just about everybody put their hands up on some level. Some people were like this, some people were like this, some people were like this. But I imagine deep down inside of us, that's something that we all want, isn't it? To have good friends. Well, what makes a good friend? Trust. The things in common with. Loyalty. Somebody you can be yourself with. Somebody that can see the good bits and the bad bits, maybe. And still love you. And want to thank you, Shirley. you know, so there's that sense of a friendship. We all want to have good friends. But often you try to say this, whenever, especially in a school setting, what you say is, if you want to have a good friend, then you need to be a good friend to someone else. Because it's a two-way thing, isn't it? It goes both ways. So the next word we're going to put on the screen is this. What does that word mean? Command. I want you to answer it now, please. You do what you're told. Order. Instructions. Yours was said, okay, back row. An imperative. You tell someone's been revising for GCSE English. an imperative, a command, something that you're told that you have to do. Anybody else want to stab another guess at a command? Put it in charge. Okay. That's why I don't feel that I, no. I'll not go there. Who benefits from a command? Hannah. The person saying the command benefits from it. Okay. Only if the person obeys it. Okay. Okay, yeah, all right. Well. Okay. So sometimes it may benefit the one giving it. Like, trying to think of something, but I'm not sure whether I go there or not. Like, Johnny, go make him a cup of coffee. So that really benefited me. That's not benefiting Johnny in any shape or form, because Johnny now has to leave the cameras and go and make a cup of coffee. That doesn't benefit you in any shape or form, because actually what Johnny's doing will take away from what you're able to see and hear in the building today and online. Whereas, actually, if I was to say, Johnny, move out of the way, quick, that light's going to fall on you. The command benefits Johnny, the instruction benefits Johnny rather than me. It also benefits me because he can go make me a coffee while he's waiting. but a command, whenever we talk about the commandments, sometimes we imagine that commandments are all about benefiting God and not us. That it's God telling us off, or it's God telling us what not to do, rather than actually, maybe they are boundaries that set us free. There are things that he tells us to do because he has our good at his heart for us. So I need a couple of volunteers today. Anybody want to volunteer? Is there a father and a daughter who would like to volunteer for a challenge? You want to volunteer, Brody? Excellent. Anybody else want to come with Brody? Who?
Archie.
Archie. Oh, what about Granda? Yeah. Okay, Granda. Granda's been commanded. Well done, Brody. Anybody want to take on Sturdy and Brody at a challenge? I'm sure somebody up here would do it, would they? Here you are, Brody. Good on yous. Right. So, the command is this, and you must obey all of the rules, okay? See what you mean, Joanna. See what you mean. So you only have one piece of paper. You're only allowed 8 folds of the piece of paper. You have to make an aeroplane that can fly at least 3 feet. I help you. You help me. Yeah. Right. Somebody make sure they're not cheating while I'm helping Brody. Andy's cheating, is he? What makes you think Andy's cheating? 7. Oh, well, we'll get there now. There you are. How many do you make? 8? You sure? You've made 8? Okay. Okay, so, Brody, do you want to throw yours first? You come out into the middle, and you throw yours. Throw it down the edge, see how far it goes. All right, Sturdy, close your eyes, because Edgy's... Oh! The challenge is set. Hey, where were you? Don't want you. Oh, who's farther, Brody? Definitely Sturdy. Big round of applause for Sturdy. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's all right. Thank you very much. In one sense, there was a command given that they had to make something. There was a set of rules and guidelines given to what they had to make. They do exactly the same thing, but they made it differently. And so there was boundaries in place, but yet within those boundaries, there was freedom to do certain things right. And that's exactly with God's commandments. He gives us boundaries that we've not to go past, but freedom within those boundaries to live a life that helps us. Because rules are there to keep us safe, aren't they? All the children say yes. Rules are here to keep us safe in many ways. So are boundaries. Because a life without rules or boundaries can often bring chaos into the mix. But God's rules are key to how we're able to live our best lives. And the key to our best relationships, our best friendships, are whenever we listen to God's plans for us to be a faithful friend with integrity and with honesty and with purity in all that we do through all of our relationships and all of our friendships. As we continue to think about this particular commandment then, we've saw over the last number of weeks about rules and boundaries. We really explored that a little bit today. We saw and talked about coveting or being jealous of other stuff, how that can replace God and how that becomes an idol sometimes in our lives. We thought about we shouldn't bear false witness. We should be true and honest in our relationships. We talked about how it was time to think about whether it was an outright lie or a half or an excuse. We were encouraged to do a think test And then previously we thought about thou shalt not steal, how we were to reflect, repent, make restitution and realign our lives if those were things that we've been involved in. And today comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, which is do not commit adultery.
The reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, reading verses 22 to 33. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water and through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Thank you, Noreen. This commandment, as I already said, is do not commit adultery. Yesterday, I had the wonderful privilege, actually, of officiating at a wedding, not here, but in one of my previous parishes, of a young couple who I had a part to play in putting them together as teenagers. Kind of went something like this. The whole world can see that the pair of you fancy each other, but one of you's just kind of asked the other. And a few other people speaking into it at the same time, and eventually two of them got together, and 9-10 years later, they were married. Yesterday it was a wonderful privilege to be back to officiate at that wedding and to speak into that couple's lives, a joy-filled occasion. Whenever I urge them to care for each other, to love each other, to communicate with each other, and to begin to look at each other as the sole importance in the world, to leave and to cleave, I suppose, is the way that we normally put that in many ways. And why did I urge all of that? Well, because relationships, as we've already talked about, can develop into friendships. Friendships can develop into other relationships that are even deeper than simply a friendship. But all of those things need to be worked at. Friendships need to be worked at. We know that no matter what age we are, whether we're in P1 or P6, or whether we're in first year or fourth year, or whether we're in our 20s or 50s or 80s, we know that actually our relationships need to be worked at. It's a two-way thing that needs to happen. We've all heard that phrase, it's a two-way thing. And the same is true of marriage, the same is true of this passage that the Apostle Paul was telling to the Ephesians church. In a place where relationships were breaking down, in a church where relationships were being set to the side, and the importance of being loyal and honest within those relationships was being flouted. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to this fledgling church, and he's saying, here are some rules that you probably need to start to live by, boundaries that will give you freedom in your relationships to enable you to be the best version of who you are. And that's exemplified in this passage today. Ephesians 5, 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. We joke about those things, and that's often a misquoted verse of the scriptures, and that wives should simply submit to husbands. But whenever you read on through it, that husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church in verse 25, you see that actually there's a heavier burden on me to love Shirley the way Christ loved us. that I am to lay down my life. I am to give my all to ensure that Shirley is the best that she can possibly be, and that I guard her with all of my heart, my soul, and my mind. And in turn, she loves and respects who I am and what it is that I bring to our relationship in order that we flourish as a couple. That's the ideal. It doesn't always work exactly like that. That's the standard. I've simply used Shirley and myself as examples in that. It's not that we are perfect or that we get it absolutely right all of the time. Sorry, it's not me who gets it right all the time. Okay. But you get what I'm saying in that. But yet we all make mistakes. We all get it wrong from time to time. And so that little phrase of leaving and cleaving, of seeing the other as one of the most important persons in the whole of the world, is key to relationships and how we play them out. Because if it's a two-way thing, we all have a part to play. And one of the most beautiful things whenever you officiate at a wedding is that moment, often that moment where the groom's obviously standing with his back looking forward, and then you give him a wee nod and he looks down and he sees her coming up the aisle, and his face lights up and her face lights up, and then they go all kind of gooey and kind of they're all and then she gets to the front and then they kind of go, it's about to happen. It's almost as if the nerves hit at that point. But yet there's other days whenever actually the two come together and they just can't stop smiling. It's just like this is the bubbling out of everything that is about them. And so you have that wonderful moment of leading them through their vows and their promises. But one of the special moments actually of a wedding, officiating at a wedding for me, is the moment where I have asked them all of those things. I've declared that they're husband and wife before this congregation and before God. And everybody gives a round of applause and a whoop whoop and all those other cheers that normally happens. And then comes this question, and it's no longer to the couple. It's to everybody else in the room. It's the point where the couple are standing directly in front of me and I step to the side of them so that I can see everybody in front of me, and I ask this question: will you, the family and friends of X and Y, support and encourage them in their marriage? And the congregation respond, we will. Because relationships not only take work from us who are in them, but they also need to be guarded and guided by everybody else around us. Those people who we know and who we trust, who will support and encourage us all the way through our relationships, especially our intimate relationships with our spouses. So whether you're married, have been married, have lost a spouse, or have never taken the step of marriage, we can all do more to encourage people that are married. To simply draw alongside them and encourage them in sometimes the smallest of ways. To encourage them in the relationship. Maybe it's actually, if they've got young kids, to say, do you know what? I could look after your children while you go out for a night if you're okay with that. Maybe it's, maybe I could make a meal because everything's so stressful for you at the moment. Whatever it might be, we can draw alongside others and we can encourage them, and we become a part of the relationship around them that is supporting and encourage them. Because I think, for me, we're married 22 years this year. And for me, in the run-up to the weeks of my marriage to Shirley, one of the things that bugged me the most, I was quite excited about it, I have to be honest. I did the whole countdown days and all that sort of stuff. One of the things that bugged me the most about it, it was often as I was about, often church actually, somebody would come up to me and say, oh, here, only 2 weeks left, 2 weeks of freedom, you better enjoy it. Here, you know, you're going to be shackled forever. Or, you know, that actually really bugged me, because I thought, no, hold on a minute, surely this should be the relationship that I'm stepping into with joy and with fulfillment. And so I suppose what I'm trying to say in that is that sometimes we can draw alongside and we can encourage, but also sometimes we need to temper our tongues a little bit and what we say, because sometimes those things are not the most encouraging to say around people. I mean, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31 says, for a reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Marriage is different from other relationships and friendships. A third person can only enter it at the detriment to the two who are already there. That's key, and it's biblical. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 tells us that whenever two are together, one falls down, one can help them up. It's a really good aid. But it goes on to say that a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. And the third strand is the Lord himself, the one who encourages us, holds us together, and keeps us right. And another biblical example of this is that moment where we need to be busy doing what we're supposed to be doing. That sounds like a weird phrase to say in this moment, but we need to be busy doing what we're supposed to be doing. King David is one of the people in the Bible who is held as someone who we should aspire to be like. But he's also somebody in the Bible who sinned deeply and grieved God and the people around him. And one of those moments is one of those well-known stories about Bathsheba. And David found himself gazing at her, but he should have been at war with his troops. He wasn't actually doing what he should have been doing. And he found himself in a place that drew him away. We need to be busy doing what we're supposed to be doing to ensure that we're doing the right thing. So what can we take from this today? Well, this is a command that serves the hearer. If you're married, strengthen your marriage. Whether you're married or not, stay pure in your relationships. Always be accountable. Have someone who can hold you accountable in your relationships. Give someone the permission to do that, actually. Sometimes we need to step outside of a relationship and say to another, I give you the permission to hold me accountable in my words and in my actions in all that I do. If you want to know more about that, have a conversation with me over coffee. And deepen your spiritual life, because the more closer we get to God, the closer we walk away from the places that we shouldn't be. Holding him at the center of all that we do and say, holding him as our cornerstone and as our foundation, is the right thing to do. And it ensures that our relationships, whether they're acquaintances with relationships, whether they're friendships and relationships, or whether they're spouses and relationships and intimate relationships, it keeps us pure and living with honesty and integrity through them all, because the Lord walks with us and holds us true. Let's pray together. Father God, just thank you for the opportunity today to open your word, the opportunity to hear from it. And as we do so, we thank you that your spirit is amongst us. May you speak deeply into our hearts and our minds today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. But as we close, we hear some words from the book of Ephesians today. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.